in John chapter 20, and I do encourage you, if you weren't here last week, to pick up one of the CDs, or you can go on our website and download that, because we're building a foundation each week. Amen. It's really, really important. Every week, I feel like that's the most important message I've ever preached. Amen. And it's just, we keep building on these things. But in John chapter 20, we're going to talk about the difference today between the Thomas kind of faith and the Abrahamic type of faith, okay? And when we see the difference between the two, you're going to go with Abraham the whole way. Amen? But I want to show you, this is really basic stuff here, but in John chapter 20, let's look at verse 19. It says, in the same day that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors... Now, let me just say this before I read this. This is after the resurrection. This is after Jesus was raised from the dead, okay? So, with that thought in mind, verse 19, the same day was evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Okay? Notice that they were in a room and they were full of fear. But you know, Jesus likes to invade our rooms of fear. Amen. In our lives. Do you know that? God doesn't want you to be in any room of fear in your life, with the shades pulled down, and you're all by yourself, and you feel so alone. And it says that the doors were shut, and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And it says, then came Jesus and stood in their midst. Now notice that Jesus didn't use the door, he just appeared. Now that will get your attention. Do you know he can do the same thing today? He has done the same thing today. Do you know he could do that right now in this room right now? Do you know Jesus Christ is in this room right now? You just don't see him with these natural eyes, but he is here and he is watching us. Amen? Why do we get into this today? You're going to see something here you never saw before. But Jesus stood in their midst and he said to them, peace be unto you. Because they were afraid. And he says, shalom. All right? Peace be unto you. And he showed them his hands and his side, and they were, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. This is right after the resurrection. Now, Mary had seen Jesus, and she told them, but it seemed like an idol, like a fairy tale to them. They really didn't believe her. But Jesus, all of a sudden, just appeared in their midst. Now, they're in this room, and the doors are shut for fear of the people. Didn't the Bible say that the fear of man is a snare? It's a snare. It's a trap. All right? But Jesus invaded that room of fear, and he brought peace into that circumstance, into their lives. And that's exactly what God wants to do today, is he wants to bring peace. Because peace, fear is the absence of peace. When we're afraid, when we're troubled, when we're tormented, because the Bible says fear has torment. I mean, when you're afraid, you're tormented. You're always trying to find a solution. You're grabbing. It's like you're grabbing for the air, but there's nothing to hold on to. That's what fear does. But faith gives us a sure foundation that Jesus Christ is there. Amen. Now, it says in verse 20, when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad that they saw the Lord. Well, I'd be glad too, wouldn't you? Jump down to verse 24, same chapter. I shared this with our men's group yesterday, a little bit about this, and I'll tell you, that's no problem. Hallelujah. We're family, amen? It says in Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12 called Didymus, I like to say, did you miss? It says, he was not with them when Jesus came in. Now, here's an interesting thing I want to show you about this. Thomas right here, there was 11 disciples left because there was originally 12. You know that. But Judas defected and went out and killed himself under self-condemnation. You know, forgiven, he could have been forgiven. You know that? Yeah. He could have gotten forgiven. He chose not. He chose self-punishment, self-condemnation, and he perished as a result of that. But Thomas, there was 11 disciples that were in this room, actually 10 that were in this room, because Thomas wasn't there when Jesus appeared to them. All right? Now, I want you to see something here. I believe the Holy Spirit showed me something here. But Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. Notice he says this, I will not believe. Now there's a difference between he couldn't believe and wouldn't believe. He chose not to believe. He says, I will not believe. Now, if you can't believe, that means it's impossible for you to believe. But if you choose not to say you won't believe, that means you have the choice to go one way or the other. Isn't that true? And it says right here, except I shall see the in verse 25, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Now remember what, in verse 25, Thomas made a statement here. He says, I will not believe. Now he's talking to the disciples. He doesn't realize that the presence of Jesus is still in that room. That Jesus hears everything that's going on. Right? You talk about practicing the presence of the Lord. And he says, I'm not going to believe until I can see the holes in his hands and put my finger into his hands and his side and so forth and so on. But notice 8 days later, verse 26, and after 8 days his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, stood in their midst and said, Peace be unto you. Every time Jesus shows up, he brings peace. Every time Jesus shows up in a church service or your life or your bedroom, wherever you're at, he brings peace. In other words, hey, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be okay. Did you ever have a panic attack before? What is that? That's fear modified, amplified, I should say. Fear amplified. But when Jesus shows up, fear banishes. When he was walking on the water, they thought it was a ghost. They were terribly afraid. Remember that? The first thing he says, peace, be of good peace, be of good cheer, it's me, be not afraid. So every time God shows up, even in the Old Testament, every time the angel of the Lord would appear, they would fall on their face and bite the dust, so to speak, and they would say, fear not, it's okay. Amen? But I want you to see right here in verse 27 that verse 26, and after 8 days, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, stood in the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he, that's Jesus, to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. All right? Now, it's interesting because Jesus addressed, the very first thing that he addressed was Thomas. So he's thinking, Thomas is probably thinking, who told him? Right? Because Jesus, first thing he looked at Thomas, he says, come here, Thomas, I got something to show you. And he says this, Reach hither, verse 27, thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28, Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Now that's, I'm sure he didn't say it like that. He was probably like, God, my God. He was, you know what I mean? He was excited about this. And he said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. We would say, because you've seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Do you see that right there? You can write this down if you're taking notes. Doubters will not be at the right place at the right time. Doubters will not be at the right place at the right time. I heard a testimony one time back in the days before the Iron Curtain fell in communist Russia, where they had the KGB that was very, very dangerous. If you were a believer and you were trying to do any type of Christian church service or smuggle Bibles or anything like that. It was a very dangerous situation. And it still is in some countries now, okay, over in the Far East. And so they had what we call an underground church that was meeting in someone's home. But every time the underground church would meet, the KGB would show up, okay? And so this kept happening, and they'd break up the meeting, arrest people, throw them, you know, in jail, torment them, stuff like that, you know. And so the leadership of that underground church said, someone is spying on us. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to let the Holy Spirit tell us where we're supposed to meet next. Has everybody got that? Okay. Now the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Now their lives were threatened, okay? But they wanted to gather together, you know? I mean, sometimes in America, if it just rains a little bit, people don't come to church. You know what I'm saying? Or if the clouds are up, well, I better stay home today. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? What about the KGB getting on your back ready to take your head off or something like that? You know what I'm trying to say? But they said, nope, we're going to do this. We're going to ask the Lord. I heard this firsthand, and he's going to show us where we are to meet. Well, needless to say, everybody prayed, and the only communication that they had was not by telephone, but by the Holy Spirit talking to him, saying, here's where we're going to meet. And everybody showed up at this other place except for this one guy. Okay? And guess what? They had the service. It was uninterrupted, and the KGB didn't come in. Okay? Why? Because he wasn't born again. He didn't have the Holy Ghost in him. Therefore, the Spirit of God could not communicate to him. Therefore, he was left out in the dark. And rightfully so, because he was undercover Christian. Or not a Christian, undercover. The KGB. And so they kept doing that, and as a result, they kept having successful meetings because the Spirit of God was directing them. Amen? How many of you know the Holy Spirit can teach us and lead us and guide us? And he's supposed to. Amen. We should lean on the Holy Spirit. If it's a life preserver and you're ready to drown in the ocean somewhere, and the only thing that's going to save you is this life preserver, and you're reaching up and you're grabbing for that thing, and you're desperate and you're grabbing for that thing, that's how we need to treat God in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. To live in a desperate, not, in a, and I say desperate, I don't mean like we can't have him, but we should be as desperate. It's kind of like the guy that wanted to, heard this story one time about a kid that wanted to be a success like his grandfather. He was a very successful man and made millions of dollars and stuff like that. And the grandson said, Dad, or Grandpa, I want to be just like you when I grow up. Can you teach me what I need to do? So they went out fishing one day. He said, are you still serious about that? He said, oh, yeah, I want to be successful like you. He grabbed that kid and stuck his head in the water right out of the boat, you know, and he pulled it up and he was gasping for air. And he had this look of terror on his face. And he stuck his head under the ground, under the water again. And he came up, just get that last breath. And he says, Grandpa, what are you doing? Now, the grandfather knew what he was doing. And he said, son, he says, when you want success, as bad as you wanted that breath of air, then you'll be a success. Amen? Now, that's how we should be when it comes to reliance upon the Spirit of God. So many times our trust and our allegiance is in the natural things. We trust in our jobs. We trust in these people. And we trust in this thing. And that's all natural things. But how many of you know any natural thing can let you down? Amen. If you have trust in natural things, eventually they can let you down. Okay? You can let yourself down. You ever let yourself down? You look in the mirror and say, doggone, I let myself down again here. I should have done better than that. Okay? Your husband, your wife, your children, people can let you down. Correct? Why? Because everybody's human. We're not perfect in the flesh yet. None of us are. All right? It's important. That's one of the keys to the love walk. Pat was mentioning about the love walk. Is to understand our humanness, okay? That's not an excuse, but the fact is we're all human. We can miss it. I can miss it, okay? But if we understand that he can't miss it, that he is perfect, and he is lovely, And He is always with us. He is always predictable. We can always count on Him no matter what the circumstance is. I'm telling you, that's the greatest place that we can be in. Some people will translate, for example, when you say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. Some people will think, has it come to that? I've had people ask me questions before through the years. They say, so what are you going to do about that? I said, well, I'm trusting the Lord. And they look at me kind of like, really? You're going to trust the Lord? In their eyes, that means you're going under, buddy. No one has ever gone under trusting the Lord. No one has ever gone under physically trusting the Lord. No one has ever gone under financially trusting the Lord. Are you with me? No one has ever gone under trusting the Lord. It's when we let go of our trust is when we begin to sink. That's what happened to Peter. He got his eyes off Jesus, walking on the water. The Scripture tells us that he began to sink. He didn't just sink like that, like we would if we jumped in water. That was a process. He began to go under. He got his eyes off of Jesus. Remember that story? But as soon as he got his eyes back on Jesus and he said, Lord, help me, he reached down and pulled him up. He didn't just push him under and say, I'm going to teach you a lesson now, Peter. Okay? Bloop, bloop, bloop. You know? You're going to fellowship with the fish now, all right? No, he pulled him out. He had mercy on him. He pulled him up out of that water because he would have drowned. All right? And so even when we feel like we've missed it and so forth, God's not there to hammer us over the head. He's not there to condemn us. He's there to lift us up. He's there to pull us up. Are you with me? Are you with me today? Okay. And so I wrote down here that doubters will not be at the right place at the right time. Now, here's 11 disciples. Why were the other 10 in there? They were supposed to be there. Okay? But see, Thomas had a doubting problem. Now, it's the same thing with Martha and Mary. Remember that story over in the Gospel of Luke? Jesus corrected Martha. And he said, Martha, Martha, he said, you're troubled about many things. Not just this situation here. Remember he said she was all concerned her sister wasn't helping out with the dinner. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing his word. What better place can you be sitting there listening to the master in your house talking to you? That's the greatest position there is. Amen? In fact, do you know God wants to talk to you every day? Do you know that? Now, I'm going to get on something here. It's a good thing, but I believe with all of my heart that one of the missions that God has given me, and I shared this with the guys yesterday in our meeting, that one of the biggest, and I just got this last week, actually, when I was spending time with the Lord. One of the biggest missions that I believe that God has for me, and of course we teach on all different things, but is to call people to intimacy with God. Do you know that? The Lord loves being close to you and to me. And when we don't talk with Him and we don't fellowship with Him, it saddens the heart of God. Have you ever loved somebody so much that you can't wait to be with them? Amen? Some of us, we have to say that by faith. Amen? But when you love somebody, you want to be with them. Amen? I've been married to my wife 33 years this coming July, coming up, you know, and I'll tell you what, I love being with that woman. I don't look at my watch when I'm with her. I don't say, well, it's been 30 minutes now. I'm ready to move on to something else. You know? Now, we have challenges like anybody else does in the natural. You know what I'm saying? But the point I'm trying to make is this. When you love somebody, you want to be with them. You make time for them. And the thing, and I shared this a few weeks ago, and I hope you understand where I'm coming from with this. I believe the Lord, I didn't hear with these ears, but inside me, like He talks to all of us, the Lord shared something with me, and it ministered so much to me. I'm telling you, it just made me melt like wax, okay? And He said, son, do you know what my greatest desire is? And I said, no, Lord, what is that? And I was thinking He was going to say, I want you to go down the street, and I want you to do this, or I want you to do this in the church. I thought He was going to give me a task. Okay? See, I'm a firstborn. You know what I mean? an overachiever sometimes. You kind of, you know what I mean? You put pressure on yourself sometimes, right? And I'm thinking he's going to give me a task, something to do. And I was ready to do that. And he says, my greatest desire is that you would spend time with me every day. He said, I want to communicate to you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to talk to you. Amen. Now, when I first heard that in my spirit, like I said, I didn't hear it with these natural ears. I heard it inside me. It did something to my heart that the Father Himself longs for intimacy and fellowship with His kids. And what happens a lot of times, in most cases, we have all these different issues that we're dealing with in our life that brings pressure against us. You know, you got that boss problem over here, you got that child problem over here, that spouse problem over here, you know, and then you got these other problems over here, this financial issue over here, and all these pressures are coming against you, you know what I mean? And they're jockeying for your time and for your attention. And that's what fear is meant to do. It's meant to grab your attention. Circumstances, fearful situations, meant to grab your attention. But I want to say this, that if we're able to shut those things out, that doesn't mean ignore them, but we can concentrate on the one that can actually fix the messes that we're in. Someone says, well, you know, I made this mess, I did this, then I have to pay the price for this. Listen, if that were the case, we would all go to hell. Because we knew what we were doing. We missed it. We sinned, right? So if we had to pay the price, there would be no Redeemer. We wouldn't even go to heaven. Jesus had mercy on us even when we knew that we were wrong and we did wrong. He had mercy on us. Right? Praise the Lord. So, when I say intimacy with the Father, I'm not talking about spending hours a day in prayer, becoming like a monk and avoiding all your friends. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about practicing the presence of God in your car, driving down the road, walking in the hallway after the church service here, getting in your car, talking to the Lord, practicing His presence, talking to Him, fellowshipping with Him. Oh, He is so eager to communicate with you and to talk to you. God, the one that made this whole universe, that made it all. And every time I talk about this, it stirs me up. I was talking with two individuals this past week. I had a meeting and so forth. And these two individuals, I was talking with them. And I started talking to him about this very thing that I'm talking about, a call to intimacy. And they had ears to hear. They were listening. In that conversation, I noticed the anointing of God fell on our conversation. I mean, it was just like a Spirit of God dropped, anointing just, poof, just came on us. Amen. Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And after that happened, I said, Lord, why? Why did that happen like that? He said, because this is the vein that I want you to be in until I come back. Amen. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean we're not teaching on other subjects and stuff like that, but I'm saying overall, like Brother Hagin, the Lord told him specifically, go teach my people faith. That was his commission. He didn't choose to do that. The Lord appeared to him and said, go teach my people faith. You've learned faith by precept and example. And he says, you've grown through this process. You were healed supernaturally from that heart problem and so forth and so on. Now he's able to take that to the nations. Okay? So I think that there's, with every minister, there's a theme that God places on the inside of us, amen? And I believe in reality, amen? Reality with God, not playing religion, not faking it, right? You ever walk into a place, a church sometime in your past or something, and you feel like, it doesn't seem real or something. Something just doesn't seem real. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a place of reality, a place of visitation. Amen. Praise God. I'll tell you, God has spoken to me in times past in some of the most unusual places when I least expected it. Well, after all, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Would you say if somebody lived with you, say you had an apartment or a house, somebody lived with you 24/7, That would change and alter your lifestyle a little bit? Whether it be good or bad, right? It's going to alter some things. It's going to change some things because whoever's living with you has an impact on you. Now, of course, we're talking about God, Jehovah, God himself living with you, in you, in your Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Say, my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful, isn't it? So when I recognize that, then he's more apt to talk to us. Okay? Now I realize more than anything else, this is not a word of knowledge. This is just the way it is in the natural. Most of you here, you're dealing with some stuff in your life. You've got challenges you're dealing with right now, and you're trying to think of, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to overcome this? How am I going to get to the next place, the next phase of my life? Okay? I'll tell you how you're going to get there. Go back to intimacy. Maybe you've never even been there. But go back to that place of intimacy. Spend some time with God every day. Just a little. Start out with just a handful of time, and you start practicing his presence. Talking to the Lord. You thank him. Start out by thanking him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. And you say, Lord, I thank you today. And you find things on purpose to thank him for. Oh, I tell you what, one of the signs, you'll see this in the book of Timothy, one of the signs of the last days is people would become unthankful. It talks about signs of the times. One of the signs is people would become unthankful. Say unthankful. Oh no, we don't want to become unthankful. We need to be thankful for each other. Do you know that? Thankful for what we have naturally, spiritually, in every way. Right? And by spending time with him, you will always be at the right place at the right time. He told Martha, Martha, you're troubled not about just this situation with your sister. You're troubled about many things. Thomas didn't just have a doubting problem this one time. It was a consistent behavior. I had the Lord correct me some time ago because I want my words to work for me and not against me. And Satan's a legalist. He'll take your words and he'll use your words against you. Okay? But your words are meant to control your life, to help you. Amen. All right? And one of the things that we need to get out of our vocabulary is, and now it sounds like a cool phrase. People say things, you're killing me. Amen? I worked in a church one time where the leadership was said things, just saying things, you're killing me. Really? You're killing me. Okay? What if every word you spoke came to pass? Are you with me now? Yes. Words are powerful. And I used to say this phrase all the time. When something would happen, you know, usually something good or even something surprising sometimes, I'd say, I can't believe that. And I was addicted to that phrase until the Lord showed me. I didn't think twice about it. And the Lord got my attention with that. Now, you might think this is a small deal. But no, listen to me. You can believe what you want to believe. Amen. You can't say to your employees, you're killing me. Come on, get busy now. No, 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 no. We don't want to say that. Okay? You don't want to use death words. You don't want to have anything that has death in it attached to your words. Anything. Okay? You don't want to use death. Get death out of your lips. Okay? They're killing me. That just tickled me to death. Get those phrases out of your mouth because the devil will use those words to use against you. Okay? So I would say this phrase all the time. I said, I can't believe this. Wow. I can't believe this. And the Lord corrected me. He says, no, you can believe this. So, I made that cry. I said, Lord, I repent from that, you know. And I said, no, I can't believe that. Now, if something's good, I'll say, you know, that's marvelous. That's wonderful. If you say something good to me, I used to say, really, I can't believe that, you know. Well, you're not going to catch this boy saying that anymore. If you tell me something good, I'm going to say, that's wonderful. That's marvelous. That's great, okay. So you practice being accurate with your words. Thomas was a doubter. Thomas didn't receive when the others were receiving. He was not in the charter class when Jesus appeared in their midst. He should have been. He could have been. But he wasn't. He wasn't there. But you know, Jesus said, "Come here, Thomas. I'm going to show you something. See my hand? See my side?" And then he said, made this statement. He says, "My Lord, my God." Did he not? Now, Jesus corrected him here. And he said this. He said, "Thomas," he said, "now you, in other words, he's saying, you believe me because you've seen me now." But he said this. He made this statement here. He said, "Blessed are they that have not seen yet believe." Hallelujah. The highest type of faith, I wrote down here, is believing apart from the five physical senses. In other words, your hearing, seeing, smell, taste, touch. This is how we communicate with this world system, what we can hear, see, smell, taste, touch, the five physical senses. But Jesus said this, "Blessed are they that have not seen," that's one of the five senses, right? "Yet believed." You're blessed. You're blessed. How many of you here have ever seen Jesus in the flesh before? Raise your hand. Okay, I don't see any hands. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe in Jesus? Ah-ha-ha. Yeah. I think I saw every hand go up. I pronounce to you that you are blessed. Amen. You are blessed. You're blessed. "Well, I prayed and I haven't seen any results yet, Brother Keith." Well, do you believe the Lord heard you? Yeah, I believe He heard me. You're blessed. That means your blessing is already on the way. Right. Blessed are they that haven't seen yet believe. Now, because of time here, we already took up a lot of time here. I just want to refer to this. You can go to Romans chapter 4 here. Abraham, I'll just kind of set the stage for you here, that Abram and Sarah were childless. And prior to their name change, Abraham was called Abram, and Sarah's name was Sarai. But the Lord came to them, personally came to them, and said that in your old age, now 100 years old, 99 years old, 100 years old, you don't see anybody having kids. Okay? Now, if you go to a nursing home around here and you find people in their 80s and 90s and 100 even, you know, I just had a great uncle that was, he just passed away, 101 years old. But you don't find people that age having kids. It's just not a normal thing, correct? Now, Abraham, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your seed and so forth, and your wife's going to have a son," and you know, and so forth and so on. And we see this situation here in Romans 4:17. I want you to see this. "As I have written, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." See what God does? He quickens the dead. He calls those things which be not as though they were. How many of you know we can do that too? Amen. I call forth healing. I call forth wisdom. I call forth money. Amen. And he said, "Who against," verse 18, "who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be, being not weak in faith." Now here's what I want you to see here, the difference between Thomas's faith and Abraham's faith right here. And it says in verse 19, "And being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old." So God gave him a word, but notice this in verse 19. He was not weak in faith. Abraham wasn't weak in faith. Now, he wasn't even born again like you and I are in the New Testament. This is Old Testament. But God gave him a word. And it says that he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, he looked at his body and said, I know that you look old. I know that you're all wrinkled and you're old. But he says, I'm not going to consider that. I'm not going to consider that. All right? He was about 100 years old. And neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb in verse 19. So Abraham had a body, Sarah had a body, and it was well past childbearing years. In fact, they had never had a child in their younger years. So it's really hopeless in the natural, completely hopeless. But they had a word from God. God says, you're going to have, Sarah's going to bear a child. That's why initially she laughed. She laughed about it. Are you kidding me? So, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded, notice that, that what he had promised, he is able also to perform. Now, we know that Abraham, make a long story short, he tried to do it in his own strength initially, and he had Hagar, became pregnant, and they had a son called Ishmael. And that's where we get all the Mideast problems today, because that was not God's plan. Amen? Well, something's working, obviously, with Abraham. His body's working, right? But he said, no, Sarah is the one. Abram was changed from Abram to Abraham, which meant father of many nations, and Sarai to princess, mother of many nations. So God changed their name. So he changed the inside image on the inside of them. And they began to see themselves, father of many nations, father of many nations. Now, what's the process right here? Verse 19, he considered not his own body, now dead. You see, when you find a promise of God, you cannot consider and take too seriously your natural circumstances. You can't take it that serious. But you can take serious what God's word says. That's what we're supposed to do. Abraham considered not his own body. Okay? Now, I know sometimes when bills are stacking up and things are happening, you know, been there and done that. I know what that's like. And I'm telling you, bills have a voice. Old Bill's talking to me. They have a voice. Your body has a voice. Jesus spoke to the fig tree and said, he answered and said unto the fig tree. Because the fig tree is saying, there's no fruit today. You're not getting any fruit. There are no figs today. Jesus answered the fig tree. He spoke back to it. Well, the fig tree didn't have a lips and a mouth like you and I do, but it has a voice. And it told Jesus, you're not getting any fruit from me. But Jesus answered and said unto it, the fig tree, no man will eat fruit of you hereafter evermore. Amen. And so your body has a voice. Your bill, your bank account has a voice. Your circumstances have a voice. But we cannot fully consider and put so much emphasis on trying to fix those things when we have to consider God. Verse 21 says, or 20, he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. You ever stagger at the promise of God before? Maybe in church I read a scripture, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you stagger at that like, that means I got to get five jobs. No. No. You can still get five jobs and still not make enough. Amen? But when you trust the Lord and you trust him, he can get resources to you that you never dreamed possible. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. And he was strong in faith. Now, here's what I want you to see. We're closing with this right here. He was strong in faith. What's the next word? Giving. Notice this, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. So here we have a promise. God gave Abraham a promise. You're going to have a child at 100 years old. And what's he do? He was fully persuaded. He was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, and he gave glory to God. being fully persuaded. Say fully persuaded. Now, he wasn't partially. He can be partially persuaded, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's able also to perform. When you hang on to the Word of God, the Bible, or God speaks something specifically to you, you hang on to that Word, and you do not let go of that Word. Now, here's the key, and here's what I want to leave you with today. Here is the key to make things happen quicker in your life. If you want to see your prayers manifested that much quicker. How many of you want to see that? Amen. All right, we'll come back next week. I'll show you how to do that. Seriously, no. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. How can you be strong in faith? Giving glory to God. Let me put it to you this way. He gave thanks to God before he saw it with these eyes. That's what he did. That's what he did. A number of years ago, I was facing some challenges in my life, you know, and I felt like the Lord put a challenge in my life. He says, Keith, can you thank me for things that you want before you see it? I said, yeah, I can do that. He says, then I want you to start doing that. I want you to start thanking me for some of the things that you're believing me for that you haven't seen with your natural eye yet. He goes, I want you to thank me for them as if you already have them. Well, I said, okay, I'll do that. Well, I started to do that. I said, Lord, I just want to thank you. There was a couple of things I was believing God for in my life, okay? And I said, Lord, I thank you for such and such. I just want to thank you for it. And the next day I'd get up, I'd do the same thing again. Amen? That golf ball size growth I had on my wrist that one time I shared with about that, he told me the same thing. Can you give glory for me while that thing's still there? Amen. I said, sure. So every day I'd get up and I'd say, oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Amen. That was just one thing. There were several different things that I was believing God to do. And in about 3-month period, 4-month period, right around that time, every one of those things that I was thanking the Lord for came to pass. Came to pass. The manifestation, you know, the man from the station. The manifestation showed up. Well, what's interesting about that is I got a book from Norval Hayes. Somebody had given it to me. And I started reading it. And he said the exact same thing that the Lord had said to me about thanking him before you see something. And it just confirmed everything God was confirming in my, showing me in my spirit about this, you know. How many of you here can thank God for something that you haven't seen yet? I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is not trigonometry. Come on now. This is anybody, a child could do this. Those kids over there could do this right now. Lord, I thank you for that brand new bicycle. Thank you in Jesus' name. You see, praise is the highest type of faith that there is. Anybody can thank God after you got something. After it shows up, you know, and the manifestation comes, you know, you get your healing, you get your breakthrough, whatever it is. You can say, oh, Lord, thank you for that. Anybody can do that after it's happened. But it takes a man of faith and a woman of faith to stand in front of those Jericho walls, so to speak, that are 8-foot thick, right? And it's keeping you out of the blessing of God. And you stand there and you say, oh, Lord, thank you that you heard my prayers. Thank you, Lord, that my loved ones are coming to you. Thank you, Lord, for that breakthrough in my job. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you get up every day and you get to do that. You're going to wake up one day, you're going to look and say, that wall was completely busted down and that promise is right there in your face. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is why we can get excited. This is why we can get excited now about things that our natural eyes haven't seen. Blessed are they that have not seen yet believe. Now, I want to be like Abraham. Abraham considered not his own body. But what did he consider? He considered the promise. God says, I've told you this. Now, you hang on to that. You hang on to that for dear life. You hang on to that thing like a dog on a bone. You hang on to that promise and you don't let go of that promise. Hebrews says that we're to consider him. Don't consider the circumstance, but we are to consider him. Amen. Are you ready to do that today? Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What promise has God given you right now for the things that you desire inside your heart? What things has God given? What promises has He given to you? Why don't we stand up together? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Now, here's our assignment. Notice I didn't say your assignment. Here's our assignment this week. Are you ready, class? Here's your test for the week. It's an open book test. We win already. Amen? Is you starting today, giving thanks for the things that you desire to see come to pass. Now, brother, does that just mean one thing or, you know, no, it could mean five different things. Whatever it is you need, whatever it is you want to see happen in your life. And you thank God for it. And you watch God fight your battles for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And you see Israel, God would send the praisers out in front. The most unusual army you ever seen in your life. Okay? He didn't send the guy the big bazookas and stuff, you know, in the front line. Well, they didn't have them back then, but, you know, he didn't send the big guys out front. He sent the praisers out front. And when they praised God and they gave thanks to God, God just smitten their enemies. I mean, they're all wiped out. Well, he's no different now. Amen? So just stop and think for a minute. What is it? What's the number one thing you want to see come to pass in your life right now? Just stop and think about that. Now, let's give glory to the Lord. Let's thank Him. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. And listen, I have a problem with that. That's not enthusiasm. That sounds like you're barely making it. I'm just being honest with you. If that thing showed up today on your doorstep, how would you react?
That's right. Praise God.
Think about that. What if your house got paid off today?
Oh, hallelujah.
Huh? What if your health just bounced back today completely and you're running around like a teenager? Huh? Huh? Listen, this is not the time to be cool. Hallelujah! Oh! Hallelujah! Ha ha! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Praise God! Hallelujah! You rejoice. We rejoice. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shh. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The voice of faith. Praise the Lord.